Christ. We've been there for at Kennedy Heights in Cincinnati, Ohio. We have a storefront there. God has given us a nice building right on a main drive, right in the heart of Cincinnati, Ohio. We have been in that storefront now going on, I say faithfully, pretty much every Sunday since October. God has truly blessed us. We have truly been growing as his witness there, shining his light, just constantly trying to make ourselves visible, constantly trying to let people know we're here. We're here. God's church is still alive. What really burdened our heart to start our mission there is we've been in the community for 8 years living there, but the churches there have not been active in coming and knocking on doors, letting people know Jesus saves. And that really burdened my heart because the Jehovah's Witness in our community is very, very, very vibrant. And they're constantly knocking on my door. And I know how to combat. I know how to push back. Their doctrine is just so bizarre. But nevertheless, I know how to preach Jesus saves. But they're knocking on everyone else's door. And that really just tore through me. And really just laid on my heart to see a church in our community that is living, breathing, has hands, has feet, has mouths, has a tongue, has eyes to see, and just really be there to let this world know, to let our community know Jesus saves. And I'm praying by his grace that we turn our, as they say it about the apostles, those who turned the world upside down has came here. And I pray God just turns our neighborhood upside down. So that is our prayer, that is our desire, that is our mission, to plant the Lord's church in our community, and to see God's work grow, his kingdom go forth. So with all that said, our sending church is Winton Place. All this is on our prayer card that is in the back. My pastor is Daniel Holt. So greetings from our home church. So with all that being said, let us now turn to God's word. If you would, stand with me in honor of God's word. We're looking at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You guys have been given Colossians. I'm in the same pastor preacher conference as Brother Austin, and Hunter's did part of it here, and he's done part of it. So now I'm going to grab the middle part of it because Hunter was before me and Brother Austin was after me. So I'm in the verses between them both. So I'll just come and finish that whole chapter out for you guys, and I truly enjoyed this series. I enjoyed every message from every brother in that preacher's conference. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and I pray God will bless us this morning. So let us begin. Colossians 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowing, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the will. Let the word Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word again, Lord. It's just so sweet just to read it. It fills my heart with joy. Lord, I so often feel like trying to expound on your word is it feels futile. Lord, it just feels like I can never describe, never articulate the greatness of your word. So Holy Spirit, I pray this morning you will speak. Hide me behind your cross, Lord. Hide me under your blood, Lord. Let the word, it definitely will not go out in the most grammatical fluency. It's not going to go out in the most wonderful of ways, Lord. But I pray your word goes out in power. Lord, let your word impact our lives this morning. Touch us, Lord. Touch your people. Move your people. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Let us feel the glory, the weight of glory in your word. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Daniel, can you bring me the water? Thank you. It's right below you. It's on the floor. Yep. Thank you, Dan. The title of our message this morning, thank you. Thank you, brother. She gave me water and I never drank any of it. Thank you, sister. All right, so let us begin. The title of our message this morning, Church, Put Some Clothes On. Church, Put Some Clothes On. And I promise you this will not be about our outside exterior clothing, but there's a clothes of the heart. When your kids go outside, oh, I don't know how many times I've done this in the last 2 weeks. When your kids go outside without the proper clothing, without the right hat on, the right coat on, the right shoes on, oh, my kids go out barefooted. Just in the middle of winter, they just run outside barefooted. What's the first thing you say as a parent? Kids, get some shoes on. Get a hat on. Zip up your coat. Oh, how many times as parents we have said those words. I remember my grandma always getting on me. Even though I was a grown man, if I come over to her house without my coat zipped up, boy, get your coat zipped up. Where's your hat at? We know. Put the clothes on. Put on the clothes of Christ. Am I a fit? Pneumonia. I work for a company, I won't give their name, but it's a company that do a lot of packaging of materials. I've been working there about 2 years now. Just had a training where we had to put on SCBAs. SCBAs is self-contained breathing apparatus. And my kids love it. I always show them the pictures when I put this big old suit on. It's like this big old jelly man just all... in our field, anhydrous ammonia is very, very, a very deadly agent, chemical. And when it enters the atmosphere uncontrollably, we have to leave first, get everyone else out first, and then we have to go in and stop the leak. To go back to contaminated air, we have to put on a hazmat suit. a SCBA. When you put on a hazmat suit, you are no longer breathing the same air as everyone else. And you are any contaminated air. You have to zip it on. You have to turn the nozzle to put it on your face. At that job, but you literally put it on, and at that moment, you no longer breathe outside air. You breathe the air in the tank. I tell you this morning, when a person is born, they are no. Look at our scripture, verse 10. This is what Paul is telling us. And have put on the God. What? That's who they He is the preeminent. He's a bird. He said he's what? In the cross, the preeminent one, Jesus Christ, took out every law that was against humanity. He took the blame to make you and me blameless. He took the impurities upon himself to make us pure. He took upon him all our sin to make us in his image righteous. We are complete in Christ. So this is how you take out the old. You on Christ. So say you are. I want to tell you this morning, you have responsibilities. See, many Christians have put on a new man, but they do nothing with that new man. They do nothing with that new life. They wait. Oh, I pray tonight, church. I pray today, church, this morning, you will be encouraged to put on some clothes. Let's begin with our scripture, our main thrust, verse number 12. Our first point this morning, put on the completeness of Christ. Put on the Christian, you have a new identity. You have a new identity in Christ. Child of God, you have a new identity in Christ. These are some of the most beautiful words in all the Bible. Elect, holy, and beloved. And these all pertain to you, child of God, and to me. Why? Why are they pertaining to us? Because we are risen with Christ. He says that in verse 1. You are risen with Christ. We are risen with Christ. So since Jesus is the chosen one, we are elected to be in Christ. We are elect because Jesus is the Savior of the world. Since Jesus is the Holy. Holiness. He calls us holy. Why? Because we are holy in Christ. Because Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Since Jesus is the beloved one, how many times? This is my son, who I am beloved, who I am well pleased of. He was beloved to the Father. Since he is beloved by the Father, we are sufficient because Christ is sufficient. I tell you, you are sufficient today because Christ is sufficient. You are. God says, I am elect. Satan said, he said, we are.
grandchild of God. So I encourage you this morning, let's act like it. Let's act like it. And that leads to our second point. Put on the charity of Christ. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. That's the first one he comes to. We'll go through this all together. There's eight layers here of personal clothing that we need to put on. He says the first one, bowels of mercies. He takes them first to the physical. See, in that culture, the physical was deemed as evil. Anything the physical was deemed as evil. Narcissism, they couldn't put their trust in Christ because Christ becoming a human was that's the humanity. The flesh is evil. The physical is evil. You got to be spiritual to be really good. No. The physical. Talked about bowels. When you come from here, you can feel it. You can feel the love. It's gonna rain today. Funny, she used to be right, but you can feel it. It was something you can feel. When something bad happens in this world, what do you feel? The world makes us so, there's so much bad news coming at us, we can become callous. Paul is encouraging us today, don't become callous. Put on the bowels of mercies. What do you feel when you hear about 19 people dying in an earthquake? What do you feel when you hear about when he was going past the man in the gutter, he felt something. He looked upon the man, and he had a feeling of mercy for the man. This man is not someone that he would love. Hebrews 10, Hebrews 14. He feels what we're going through. See, presidents, they talk about what they think we're going through, right? But they don't feel. He feels for you. He hurts for you. His heart is broken for you. His heart is broken for this world. What do you feel, church? Put on the bowels of mercy. Second, put on kindness. In this charity that we need to be putting on, kindness. Kindness is getting down in the ditch and helping someone get out. No matter. Done. How the man was living last week. He didn't say, oh, he deserved it. He didn't say, oh, man, see, you should never walk down this way. No, he did go through all those different things that we go through in our minds when it's time to help someone else. No, he had kindness. He put the man that was in the ditch on his donkey. and he walked. There was a kindness there. Then Paul tells us humbleness of mind. Oh, let me go back to kindness. I praise the Lord. Jesus did not go through his mind all the things that we done to ourselves that put us in bad positions before he saved us. I thank God. Adam, you know, Adam did it to himself. He messed up. Why, I got to go die. No. He was kind. It's kindness in our Lord. Humbleness of mind in our scripture. Humbleness of mind. Put on humbleness of mind. Humility. Humility isn't thinking poorly. This is not self-pity. Self-pity so easily makes us think we're being humble. We find ourselves in a self-pity moment. Woe is me. No, that's not humility. It's not thinking of yourself at all. That's what humility is. It's not thinking about you at all. It's thinking about the Lord. Humbleness of mind. My mind is on the Lord. What did Philippians, what did Paul say? Look not on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humbleness of mind. Christ thought more about the Father's glory than he thought about his own. He thought more about the Father's will than he thought about his own will. He thought more about... Child of God, put on the humbleness of mind. Don't think about yourself. We become so self-consumed. When we're going through bad things, we become selfish. I tell you, self-consumed, being self-absorbed. Oh, I tell you, stop more among those who are going through and poor. We become so self-consumed. Woe is me. I got to get my life right. I got to get my life right. I've heard so many times, I knock on someone's door, share the gospel with them. Oh, man, you know, I got to get myself together before I go to church. That's not humbleness of mind. That is thinking about self. That's pride. Humbleness of mind is not thinking about yourself at all. Let us put on this Christ. Fourth, meekness. Let's continue down our text. Go back to our text. Meekness, verse 12. Meekness, put on meekness. Meekness is strength under control. A will. That is meekness. Strength under control. You want to put on meekness? Put on Christ. Next, long suffering. Long suffering. Let's keep moving through this text. Verse 12, long suffering. Patience. Oh, patience is a hard one, especially as a parent of four. This one's hard. This one easily gets misapplied. Not applied at all, right? Patience here, it means the wick. When you light dynamite, the wick burns slow. Long suffering. The wick, before the explosion, cussing each other out, getting in front of them, cussing. I see them just rah, 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 rah. Patience is lacking among mankind today. Just go. should have Jesus. Jesus should have flipped the table over on you. How many times he should have let you have it? How many times he should have jumped your case? We love to jump our kids' case. We jump our case so quick. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? You know better. We jump all over them. How many times he doesn't jump all over us? He doesn't beat us down. He doesn't get on our case, but he is long-suffering with me and with you. Oh, let us put on Christ. Forgiveness. Moving into verse 13 now. Forgiveness. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Jesus Christ has forgiven us so, so much. That's our motivation here, Christ. Your motivation to forgive is not so you can look like you're the same. I forgive you. How many times we told our spouses, I forgive you. How many times I've heard people say, I forgive you, but I'll never forget. That's not motivating forgiveness there. That's self-motivating forgiveness. Our forgiveness should be, our forgiveness should be, because he has forgiven me so much. Let it go. I tell you, our churches will not live where bitterness reigns supreme. Our churches, how many churches I've talked to, how many church members, how many people, they left because of bitterness. The church people split ways because of bitterness, because something didn't go someone's way. Somebody hurt someone. Churches split up. People leave the church. Oh, bitterness has killed more Christians in their walk with the Lord than bullets. Christians have, bitterness have put out. Forgive one another. And then next, charity. Look at our scripture, verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. 14. And above all, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity. Charity is our glue. It's the glue. Kids, you know how it is to play with glue. You put the glue on to make it stick, wherever you're putting it together, paper or pencils or whatever you're putting together, cardboard boxes, you put the glue on there. You stick it together. Oh, the glue holds us together. Without charity, charity holds us together here. Without charity, all our churches, all our clothes will fall. It's the belt. Without charity, our clothes are ineffective. Charity is a giving of oneself. Jesus gave all. So, knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifies. It's charity. Above all things, put on charity. Knowledge that doesn't translate into love is like putting up a house without screws. Eventually, that house is going to fall down. Oh, knowledge. Our knowledge. But does fall down. As God is love, Spurgeon said these words, as God is love, so Christ is love. O Christians, be ye loving also. Let us put on the charity of Christ. Lastly, our third point this morning, put on the community of Christ. Put on the community of Christ. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. He's translating, he's going to the plural here. He uses, ye are called in one body. How do we keep war out of the local church? The peace of God. The peace of God must rule our churches. How do we keep division out of the local church? The peace of God. He must have the ruler. He must be our ruler. The peace, God's peace, should be the ruler over our hearts, over our minds. A heart where God's peace doesn't rule will corrupt. So we must submit ourselves to the peace of God. We must remember we have peace with God, a holy God. We have peace with Him. So we must have peace with each other. It's the peace of God that must rule. And then he says, be ye thankful. A thankful church will always be a peaceful church. Thankfulness. Thanksgiving is not the only time of the year we should be giving thanks to the Lord. If we're not thankful, we're going to be complainers. Flat out, period. And complainers, they're never seen the praises of God. Murmurers will never enter the promised land, right? Israel murmured against Moses, murmured against God. 40 years, murmuring, complaining, murmuring. They never made it to their destination. They never fulfilled what God wanted them to fulfill because they wasn't thankful. How? That God did all he did for them. And they never got to enjoy the promised land, that generation, because they kept complaining. Not because they kept building golden altars, golden calves. Not because of idolatry. Not because they was big old fornicators. Not because they had run around aborting their babies. No. They kept. They never entered the promised land. Oh, Paul is saying, put on Christ. Put on a thankful heart. Then he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ find a home in your church. Grace Missionary Baptist, let the word of God. A church where God. We can never know the Lord unless the word of Christ is dwelling here richly. It's dwelling in our hearts richly. It's dwelling in our lives richly. I heard it best said this way. Heed it, handle it, hide it. Just doesn't look right. It just doesn't fit well. Having love without do my job. Oh, I know we live in a generation. We gotta love better. We gotta love people. We gotta love. Love. The truth and love must work together. Too much truth, only truth, and no love won't hold up. It becomes cold. It becomes dull. Love without truth becomes flaky, becomes fake. No one likes fake love. Why do people get divorced? Because the other person wasn't truthful. We need truth with love. They work together. anything other, it's not what God wants. And then verse 16. Look at our verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing. Singing is the beauty of Jesus' community. Singing is not just to inspire others, but to challenge others. He says we should be admonishing, we should be teaching through our singing, through our hymns, through our spiritual songs, through our psalms. And we must do all this to God, not to each other. We're not singing for others. We're not singing for other people to say, what a great singer you are, great job. No, we're singing for his ears, for his eyes. Oh, when our singing becomes there, I don't care how beautiful a person sounds, if it's not aimed to that heart, to his ears, it is ugly. We sing for him. We sing for him. And I tell you, we need more psalms. He starts with psalms. We need more psalms sung in our churches. I long to hear more psalms. I long to find more psalms that's written in a hymn book. We need more psalms. Psalms speak of Christ the most. Psalms. I know many songs on the radio today don't sing one bit about Jesus. Calls them a lot of him and he, but they don't call on the name of Jesus. I know many songs today. Let's sing them to God's glory. And then let's go with our last verse. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Tom Brady, everybody probably knows his name. Get tired of seeing him every year in Super Bowl. Tom Brady, for years of his life, I don't know how many years, but a long time, he played for New England Patriots. He gave his all for the New England Patriots. He did everything to the glory of the New England Patriots. Last summer, he made a decision to take off the New England Patriots jersey. And he made a choice to put on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey. From that point on, Tom Brady now does everything in his career to the glory of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for the help of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to do everything for their name, no longer for the name of the New England Patriots. Child of God, when you put on Christ, I don't know when that time was in your life. I know for me, it was August of 2006. I don't know where it was for you. But when you make everything for the glory of Christ. And that is what Paul is telling us here. Whatsoever you do, I don't care what. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I pray your word reach the hearts right where the heart needs it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When I know that you're working, the preaching is not in vain. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you work in all of our hearts. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. Let us put on these clothes, whatever clothes we're lacking. Whether it's we have kindness, but we don't let your word dwell in us richly. We might have vows of mercies, but we don't act on those feelings. We don't have the kindness. We don't back it up with kindness. We're singing, Lord, but we're not singing to your glory. Whatever we're lacking, Lord, I pray this morning, if it's patience, Lord, with our children, patience with our husband, patience with our wife, patience with our parents, patience, Lord, whatever it is, help us, Lord, help us suffer long. We need you. If there's salvation that's needed, Lord, someone today is not clothed in your righteousness. They're not saved once for all have given to Christ. If they have not given their sins, if their sins have not been nailed to your cross, Lord, I pray this morning they will see their need for a Savior. And they will come to know you in your fullness. And they will trust you and love you. And they will walk and they will do all, whatsoever they do for your glory. And give thanks for all that you have done in their lives. I pray today will be that day for that person, Lord. Move, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.